As we all get older, the one constant thing is the aggressive, excessive mail and advertising for Medicare, Medicare supplements, and Medicare Advantage. And almost every one of them is a call center with no idea of what you really need. Siskiyou Insurance has an agent that deals with nothing but Medicare issues and can explain the differences clearly between a Medicare supplement and Medicare Advantage. Call Greg Green at Siskiyou Insurance at 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and I Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio. Find out what's happening in our town, our community, and our nation. That's Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m. right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Tonight, Michael Brown joins me here.
The former FEMA director.
Talk show host, Michael Brown.
Brownie. Now.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Broadcasting live from Denver, Colorado. You've tuned into The Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you joining the program today. You know, we got rules of engagement. We always have rules of engagement. If you want to send me a text message on your message app, whichever one you use, doesn't make any difference. The number is 33103. 33103. Keyword Mike or Michael. You can tell me anything or you can ask me anything. And it doesn't make any difference whether you're listening live or the affiliate delays it or you're listening on the podcast. Whenever, just send me a message. You can TMA or AMA. Just kind of give me a little bit of reference about, you know, in case you're listening to it 2 days later, that I know kind of what you're talking about. And then do me a favor and follow me on all the social media platforms, whether it's X, Facebook, or Instagram. X is at Michael D. Brown, and the others are at Michael.D.Brown. So it's all Michael D. Brown. So I would just say, let's think about this. The scoreboard doesn't lie, right? So let's start with what happened on Friday, because I think it matters. The Iranian foreign minister, some guy named Abbas Araghchi or something like that, announced that the Strait of Hormuz is, quote, completely open for commercial vessels for the duration of the ceasefire. And then just a few minutes later on Friday, Trump posted over on Social Truth that, in all caps, of course, Iran has just announced that the strait is fully open and ready for full passage. Thank you. end of post. Now, let that sink in for a moment. And, of course, by the time you listen to this on, you know, maybe late on Saturday or Sunday or Monday sometime, who knows? It may have all fallen apart. But at least as of yesterday evening, the Iranians were saying that the strait was open, which is, of course, the single most important maritime choke point on the entire planet. It's that waterway, I know you've heard this by now, through which roughly, what, 20% of the world's oil supply flows, was just reopened on Friday. And if you watch the markets on Friday, they responded immediately. Crude oil plunged 12% to around $83, $84 a barrel. International Brent crude did slide a little more, 10% to around $89 a barrel. And two of the major U.S. stock indices hit all-time highs. But that is part of the picture. And I think even though it is, well, maybe it's the full picture, but nonetheless, context is everything. The war started on February 28th this year. What followed was, according to the International Energy Agency, the largest disruption to global oil supply in the history of the world. Global oil supply plummeted, dropped by more than 10 million barrels per day just last month alone. And then physical crude prices surged to near $150 a barrel at the peak. 6 weeks of enormous pressure on global energy markets, whipsawing the stock markets. If you're watching your 401k, you know it zoomed up and then it zoomed down, up and down like a roller coaster. And, of course, the cabal. The cabal was relentlessly catastrophizing. Everything is the end of the world. 6 weeks of predictions from the experts that this was going to be a forever war, that it would crater the global economy, that Trump had recklessly started something that Trump could not finish. Well, what actually happened instead? Well, first, Trump brokered a 10-day ceasefire between Israel and Lebanon. Now, that ceasefire, which is sort of holding, maybe yeah, maybe no, is directly connected to Iran's decision to reopen the strait. Trump announced that Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, and Lebanese President Joseph Aoun, I think that's how you pronounce his name, will be invited to the White House for what Trump described as the first meaningful talks between the two countries since, I think, 1983. And that U.S. Navy blockade? Well, Trump made it clear that it still remains in place, even as of this morning, on Iranian-linked vessels until a final peace deal is signed, meaning that Trump's going to keep the maximum pressure on Tehran while opening the global shipping lanes to everybody else. Now, I got to tell you, I don't think that's recklessness. I think that's using leverage. I think that's actually a part of Trump's whole, you know, art of the deal persona. Now, about those predictions. 6 weeks ago, the pundit class assured us with the full confidence of people who have really never made a consequential decision in their lives, never run a business, never been in the military, never done really anything other than just report on what somebody else is doing, and while doing it, they don't like the person they're reporting on. They spent all of that time that Trump's military and his strategic confrontation with Iran would send oil close to $200. It would collapse all the stock markets. It would ignite into a broader regional war. We wouldn't have an exit. And we would hand Democrats a political windfall heading into the 2026 midterms. I think on every single count, they were probably wrong. Now, I want to be precise about what Trump actually risked. He made this decision knowing the midterms are what? Now, they're about 6 months away. He knew gas prices were going to spike. He knew the markets would be volatile. And he knew that all the headlines, all the political class, they would be brutal. They would attack him from every which way. Schumer, the media, everybody. He made that call anyway. Not because he ignored the political consequences, but I think because he understood what was actually at stake and kind of torpedoed the political consequences. Because here's what was at stake, and to a certain degree, to be completely objective, I think, is still at stake. Iran had enriched enough uranium to be dangerously close to nuclear weapons capability. Then the axis of resistance. Iran, with its proxy spread across the Middle East. They weren't going to be deterred by any sort of diplomatic notes or stern statements or posts on Truth Social. And the alternative to confronting that reality now was a world later in which the United States' credibility as the guarantee, as the guarantor of the global war world order, was going to be permanently diminished. And that brings me to the point the critics, I think, consistently miss. The one that I think is the most important argument that Trump's opponents refuse to engage honestly. The United States is not just a country. I know we, as Americans, we tend to think about, you know, the lower 50, and then we got Alaska and Hawaii out there, and we tend to think of the West Coast and the East Coast and the Gulf of America. We think of the Canadians up north and Mexicans down south, and we just think we're just this country. We're more than just that. This country, post-World War II, is actually the architect. We're the architect of the post-World War II rules-based international order. And that order is built on a very specific foundation. And that foundation is pretty simple, although it's complex in its implementation. And that foundation is this: self-governance, individual liberty, individual freedom, those are not merely American preferences. Those are the apex values of a functioning, civilized planet, a civilized world. When this country projects strength, that architecture holds. When America retreats, authoritarian regimes fill that vacuum every single time without exception. So you want to know what the real cost of losing that architecture looks like? Ask yourself a simple question. What does a world look like where Iran controls the Strait of Hormuz and can charge tolls? Or where they can close it entirely, whenever that Iranian mullah regime feels like. The Iranians were already moving to toll vessels seeking to move through. Trump called it out as an attempt to cement Tehran's grip on the passage, a world where Iran could hold 20% of the world's global oil supply hostage is a world where American leverage is gone. Our allies would be neutralized, and American consumers, you and I, would pay for it every time we fill up the tank. That's not a theoretical scenario. That's what was developing in real time before Trump acted. Now, what comes next? It's the Weekend with Michael Brown. Text any questions or comments to 33103, keyword Michael. Hang tight. I'll be right back.
Attention, business owners. This is Jason Evans. I spent the last 3.5 decades helping companies create serious business breakthroughs, and I want to help you like never before. I built a serious training program called 3 Ways to Double Sales in 12 Months. We're going to give this to any business owner that calls us at 800-500-8320. Just call with your email address, and we'll email you this phenomenal video training program at our expense, not yours. It's an incredible gift. See if you agree. 3 Ways to Double Sales in 12 months.
I took Jason's training less than a year ago. This year alone, Jason has made my training explode as far as my sales growth by over 250%. I'm expecting on doing close to $5 to $6 million gross this year just off of his training.
Again, call with your email address and we'll give you a program that others have paid dearly to receive. 800-500-8320. 800-500-8320. That's 800-500-8320. Paid for by Power Sales University.
Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life. Warm up with our made-from-scratch soups and signature family sauces, crafted from cherished recipes passed down through generations. Watch the magic happen when we hand-toss every pizza to order, then bake it to perfection. Crispy, cheesy, and made with love. Let the little ones explore our brand-new adventure room with bounce houses, arcade games, and even a make-your-own pizza table where the kids can make their own pizza. Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life.
Ready? Online marketing. Winning online.
When you search for your business on Google, where do you show up? Page 2? Page 3? Nowhere at all? Meanwhile, your competitors are getting those calls. You need Reading Online Marketing. Since 2010, Reading Online Marketing has been helping local businesses rank on Google, get found by customers, and win online. Need a website? We build it. Need digital ads that actually work? We manage them. Want to rank higher on Google and grow your social media? We handle it all. Here's the big difference. We know the Reading market. We know exactly what it takes to outrank your competition and get you found first. We'll show you where you stand and what it'll take to win. ReadingOnlineMarketing.com or call 530-378-4060 for your free evaluation.
Reading Online Marketing. Winning Online.
The Ramsey Show.
You actually can help people, and you don't help them by giving them a government program. You help them by showing them the way out. People love me enough to put their arm around me and show me a different way. I didn't figure it all out in my own head. So there's a power to hope, but that's not some kind of false panacea positive thinking way. It works. You can't positive think your way into everything, but you can't negative think your way into anything.
Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
The Renting Rancheria proudly invites you to the State of the Tribe Luncheon, Wednesday, May 20th at Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center, with doors opening at 11:30 and lunch at noon. Join us as we celebrate where we have been and explore where we are going as a tribe and community partner. Proceeds from this event benefit the Reading Rancheria Community Fund. The Reading Rancheria State of the Tribe Luncheon, Wednesday, May 20th, at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and watch the State of the Tribe streaming live.
And current cast members who reveal firsthand details about the show that you simply won't hear anywhere else. This is your home for all things Bachelor Nation.
We'll also be breaking down each episode, and we'll have some juicy insider secrets along the way.
New season, new love stories, new drama.
Pour yourself a drink, because the most dramatic season has just begun.
Listen to Bachelor Happy Hour on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome back to Beacon with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. I appreciate you tuning in. Hey, do me a favor. Go over on social media, particularly X, where I'm most active, and give me a follow over there. It's at Michael D. Brown on X, formerly Twitter, at Michael D. Brown. And then if you do me a favor and download the podcast, that'd be fantastic. On your podcast app, search for the podcast called The Situation with Michael Brown. That's what we call the program, The Situation with Michael Brown. You hit that subscribe button, leave a 5-star review because that helps us with the algorithm, and then that will automatically download all 5 days of the weekday program plus weekend program, and that'll give you all the Michael Browns you need. So we were talking about all the predictions that everybody in the expert class was telling us about what would happen, and then on Friday, both Trump and the Iranians announced that the Strait of Hormuz had been open. That it had been open. And the theory I'm working on here is that this is a risk that Trump took. As I've told my local audience in Denver, every president going back to Jimmy Carter has said, oh, those Iranians are horrible. We got to do something about that. And then every president following kicked the can down the road. And every time they kicked the can down the road, the Iranians would get stronger. They would further finance all of their proxies. Terrorism would spread. They would kill Americans. They killed Americans during the Iraq War. They killed Americans on the USS Cole. They killed Americans out of Yemen. They killed Americans everywhere, probably in this country too, and other people all over the world. And so finally we get to Trump version 2.0. And Trump says, I'm not going to kick the can down the road. And I'm in my second term, although there was an interruption with Biden. I'm in my second term. I know there are horrible political consequences, but I have said since like the late 1970s, early 1980s, that the Iranians can never have a nuclear bomb. So I'm going to stop them. I'm going to stop them, and I'm going to stop all this terrorism going on in the Middle East. And then he looked at the broad, landscape of the Middle East, and he saw what his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, had done in Trump 1.0, with the Abraham Accords. He started bringing the Arab nations and the Israeli nation together. He was bringing the Muslims and the Jews together. He was actually getting them all to cooperate and recognize that operating as one, they could be a powerhouse in the global world order. But the problem was, while the Saudis and the Kuwaitis and the Emiratis and everybody else really would like to get rid of the mullahs, they could not say that publicly. They could whisper it in Trump's ear. They could even whisper it in Benjamin Netanyahu's ear. But they couldn't say it publicly. But Trump steps up and decides, damn the consequences. Damn the midterm elections. Somebody has to do something at some point, so I'm going to do this. Now consider what happens in November 26th if the Democrats flip the House. Let's just focus on the House for a moment. Every tax cut that has kept investment flowing into American businesses, that will get put on the table for reversal. Every single energy policy that Trump put in place that's designed to strengthen American production gets targeted. All of the green new energy bullcrap that all the Democrats kept putting in, starting back in Obama, in fact, even earlier than that, starting back with Al Gore and the inconvenient truth, all of that, vamoose, gone, done away with. And we saw gas prices reduce. We started to see our oil production increase. We became energy independent, even though it's still traded on the global market. We saw all of that happen. The posture of American strength that just produced an open Strait of Hormuz, a ceasefire in Lebanon, an Israeli-Lebanese summit in the White House gets replaced by the return of the apology tour. Remember the apology tour that Obama started and Biden continued? The philosophy that says American power is the problem, not the solution, is what will become the mantra if the Democrats take over in 2026. Now, make no mistake, a Democrat-controlled House in 2027 doesn't just threaten your tax rate. It threatens the entire strategic posture that just demonstrated once again that American resolve works when it's actually exercised. The people who want to dismantle Trump's foreign policy and his economic policy, Let me ask you just a hypothetical question. Now, I want you to really think about it. What alternative are they offering? Because in my opinion, they're not offering an alternative. What they're offering is a return to the conditions that made this confrontation necessary in the first place. Now, they may be offering some alternatives to tax cuts, which are tax increases. They may be offering an alternative to deregulation, which is more regulation. They may be offering an alternative to the abolition of all the Green New Energy deals. What will that be? More subsidies, more wasted money on, you know, pipe dreams about how we can use all these renewables and we can have planes flying with solar panels. All of that fantasy takes over again. So I would say to the critics who spent, I don't know, the last 6 weeks or so insisting that this was catastrophic overreach, well, the strait was opened on Friday and the markets hit record highs. And the ceasefire seemed to be holding. Israel and Lebanon are at least headed to the White House. Oil was back down below $90 a barrel. The scoreboard is pretty public. And all the predictions are on record. So I don't want the left to just get to move on quietly. I really do believe that Trump knew full well what the risks of this move were. And he was willing to take that. He was willing to take that risk because there's something liberating. You watch presidents in their second term when you know that they can't serve in another 4 years, and they be called what, you know, we call them the lame duck presidents. That's liberating. You don't have to worry about the next election. Now, I know Trump is worried about the midterms, and I know that historically that the party in power tends to lose power in the midterms, and I think that's still a possibility. I think we could hold on to the Senate. The House, I think, is up for grabs. But if Trump is able to pull this off so that by the time we get to Labor Day, which I know seems like a long time off, by the time we get to Labor Day, if the markets are still good, if the strait is still open, if the ceasefire is still holding, and just if the people that revolted a few months ago in Iran start to revolt again, and the IRGC has just been decimated, and they can't fight back. The security apparatus can't fight back. That means that the Iranian people themselves will take control of their own government, and you will see, and I hate to use the word, the phrase, but we're likely to see regime change. But unlike the regime change that we've tried to impose ourselves in other countries, this will be an organic regime change that occurs from within. That's the kind that lasts. That's the kind where a country can look back on 250 years and say, wow, that revolution we started in 1776, that really works. Power to those Iranian people. It's the Weekend with Michael Brown. Text lines open 33103, keyword Michael. I'll be right back.
Mom deserves more than flowers and a card. Enter to win the JTV Mother's Day Getaway at jtv.com/sweepstakes. You could win a 6-night cruise to Grand Cayman, Mexico, and the Bahamas, plus $1,000 spending money and a $1,000 gift card to shop JTV. It's a mom's dream come true. Enter the JTV Mother's Day Getaway now at jtv.com/sweepstakes, and new customers receive a one-time $25 off of a purchase of $50 or more.
LifeLock, how can I help?
The IRS said I filed my return,
but I haven't.
1 in 4 tax-paying Americans has paid the price of identity fraud.
What do I do?
My refund, though.
I'm freaking out.
Don't worry, I can fix this.
LifeLock fixes identity theft guaranteed and gets your money back with up to $3 million in coverage.
I'm so relieved.
No problem. I'll be with you every step of the way.
1 in 4 was a fraud-paying American. Not anymore. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
Hear ye, good folk. You are cordially invited to the Shasta Renaissance and Fantasy Fair Memorial Day weekend, Saturday, May 23rd from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Sunday, May 24th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Anderson Fairgrounds at 1890 Briggs Street. Watch knights fight for their honor in armored combat. Enjoy lively Celtic and folk music. Feast like royalty and shop handcrafted treasures from artisans far and wide. Tickets are just $17 for adults, $15 for youth, 11 to 17, and kids 10 and under get in free. Get yours now at Eventbrite and skip the lines. The Shasta Renaissance and Fantasy Fair Memorial Day weekend, Saturday, May 23rd from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Sunday, May 24th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Anderson Fairgrounds. Huzzah!
This is Colonel Danny Gillum, the host of Frontlines of Freedom, the nation's largest military news and talk radio show. We address the most pressing issues facing the security of our nation, our armed forces, our veterans, and their families. Please join us every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM KCNR, your talk radio show.
For me, the best part of my day is when a commercial loan actually closes. The owner of the business, they finally have the cash to go do what they want to do to grow their business. They might have stressed about this, hoping it would all work, and when it all comes together as planned, it's a win-win for everyone. So I like that. I like it when people are happy, like, yes, they got their money, because it can be very stressful.
Plumas Bank. Experienced bankers. Real solutions. Visit PlumasBank.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa and Janet Chandler. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archive link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson.
Hi, I'm Dr. Maria Salas, owner of HealthWise Chiropractic. My focus is to help people feel better, look better, and take control of their health with a simple, life-changing plan. It starts with smarter eating choices and adding the right amount of protein to support gut health and reduce inflammation. You'll also receive weekly accountability coaching, a free guide, and a complimentary consultation with me, Dr. Maria Salas. Ready to feel your best? Call or text 530-227-3984.
John Cruz here with America Outdoors Radio. Be sure to tune in this weekend and catch the latest in fishing, hunting, conservation, and destinations. If you love spending time in the field or on the water or in the woods, you're going to love this show. It's America Outdoors Radio, the fastest growing outdoors radio show in the nation. Tune in Saturdays from noon to 1 p.m. on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM KCNR, your talk radio.
It's time to settle up and ride west. Wind River Resort and Casino is proud to bring Wyoming's own Ian Munsick to the Event Center stage. Friday, July 24th, rising fast and bringing his signature sound, Ian brings the west to the rest. Tickets are just $60 plus fees. But they won't last long, so don't wait. Make it a country night to remember. Call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN to reserve your room and grab your ticket.
Knock off those boots.
Grab your hat and find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Tonight, Michael Brown joins me here.
The former FEMA director.
Talk show host, Michael Brown.
Brownie. Now.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Hey, welcome back to The Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. I appreciate you tuning in. So we know, you know, we have rules of engagement, and I would offer this one up right now. That if you like what we do on the weekend program, you might like the weekday program. And that's really easy to listen to on your iHeart app, the free-to-you iHeart app. All you have to do is search out for a station in Denver with the call letters KOA. KOA, it's on the dial at 850. Is there a dial anymore? It's on the dial at 850 AM or 94.1 FM. Once you find that station, KOA, hit that as a preset. And then you can listen to The Situation with Michael Brown Monday through Friday on 850 KOA in Denver from 9 to noon Mountain Time, which would be, what, 11 to 2 Eastern Time. You guys on the West Coast, figure it out yourself. So hit that preset on your iHeart app for 850 AM, 94.1 FM in Denver, KOA. I want to tell you a story about a house that's divided, except the division, excuse me, the division isn't a political disagreement. It's not one of these late-night arguments over the thermostat, I'm too cold, I'm too hot. It's not even a difference of opinion on which streaming service to cancel. I'm sick of Netflix. We never use Amazon Prime. We're paying too much for all this. No, this is a division between a husband's press conference and his wife's legislation. And the two of them share a last name. They share a home. And apparently, I bet they share some very interesting dinner table conversation. I want you to meet the Attorney General of the State of California, Rob Bonta, or Bonta, I'm not sure which one. Rob Bonta, B-O-N-T-A, a graduate of Yale Law School. He's got 51 convictions on hospice fraud cases. And this past week, he stood before the cameras in L.A., and he announced something called Operation Skip Trace. Operation Skip Trace. Now, he charged 21 people. There is a $267 million Medi-Cal hospice fraud ring dismantled. The scheme was almost elegant in its criminality. These people bought the real identities of actual Americans off the dark web. Then they would enroll them as fake hospice patients in Medi-Cal, that's the California Medicaid program, without those people's knowledge. Then they would spend, they spun up 130 different shell companies, and then they built the state of California for services that never was delivered to one single patient. You know why? Because the patients did not exist. The so-called patients were healthy. They were living in every other state except California, and they had no idea that they had supposedly been enrolled in end-of-life care. They had been enrolled in hospice care while they were playing on the golf course out in South Carolina somewhere, or they were laying on the beach drinking Mai Tais in Florida, or they were hunting in the hills of West Virginia. They didn't realize that they were on hospice care in California. That's how crazy this story is. Now, the Attorney General of California, Rob Bonta, called it brazen and calculated. Well, yeah, kind of was, wasn't it? He said California has, and I'm going to quote here, California has zero tolerance for fraud. And then he looked into the camera. He looked straight in the camera like a really serious person and said, we're coming for you. Now, the California Attorney General was indignant. He was righteous. He was, frankly, I truly believe, he was pretty impressive. And, you know, insofar as what he's doing, I kind of believed him. Sort of. Except I think it's probably a lot worse than a $267 million Medi-Cal hospice fraud ring. There have been stories about, I forget how many hospice operations were operating in the city and county of Los Angeles, but it was hundreds and hundreds of them. Just empty offices. Or maybe a post office box. You know, at the UPS store. Just a location. Just an address. Nothing else. No patients. No medical devices. No hospice. No record keeping. Nothing. Just a place for the checks to be mailed or a bank account for the money to be transferred to. So I think it was a lot worse than what the Attorney General described. But that's fine. That's fine. Because I believe that the Attorney General really is going after this, you know, purported $267 million Medi-Cal hospice fraud ring. I think he is. I just think he's ignoring the rest of it. So that's the Attorney General, Rob Bonta, B-O-N-T-A. Now I want you to meet somebody else. I want you to meet Mia Bonta. She's a member of the California Assembly. She also happens to be, let me check my notes here. Yes, Mia Bonta is the wife of Rob Bonta. So the California Assembly member, Mia, is the wife of Rob. Wow, a political power couple. She's a Yale grad herself, a Yale law graduate in addition to undergraduate, a woman who back in 2021, she won a special election specifically to fill the assembly seat that, her husband vacated when he became attorney general. You know the old saying, the family that prays together stays together? Well, here's the family that stays in politics together, plays in politics together, they stay together. So he left because he got elected attorney general, so she ran in the special election to fill his now vacant seat in the California Assembly, and she won. So for a brief moment in California history, the Bondas were the only married couple simultaneously serving in two different statewide offices in the history of the state of California. Now, the same week that her husband, the attorney general, was holding press conferences about fraud, his wife, Mia, was advancing Assembly Bill 2624. Remember that. Assembly Bill 2624. She was pushing that through the California legislature, or I like to call them the Politburo. It was a bill so nakedly targeted at one specific person that it has already been informally christened by its critics and supporters alike, even the supporters of the bill. Yeah, we know who this is really going after. They call it the Stop Nick Shirley Act. Nick Shirley. Yeah, write that down. Nick Shirley's 24 years old. He doesn't have an anchor desk. He doesn't have a network. What he has is a camera. He has a car. And he has the energy of a 24-year-old young whippersnapper who doesn't know he's supposed to be afraid. And he's got a YouTube channel with more than a billion, I didn't say million, I said billion with a B, total views. Last December, just this past December, he posted a 40-minute video on Somali-run daycares in Minnesota that were allegedly billing the state for children who weren't there. That got 42 million views on X, not on YouTube, on X, formerly Twitter. The political fallout was so severe that Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, who had been preparing a bid for a third term, well, he announced he's dropping out of the race entirely. So then Nick Shirley did something that really has the Bontas upset. He came to California. He went to California. And in March, he documented what he alleged was $170 million in similar fraud in California daycares and hospices. Ghost operations registered to empty lots, empty offices, mailboxes at the UPS store, strip malls. And the response from California Democrats? Oh, it wasn't an investigation into the fraud. The response was a bill to investigate Nick Shirley. Assembly Bill 2624, introduced by Mia Bonta, the wife and member of the California Assembly, married to the Attorney General, who says he's going after crime, she introduced a bill that would make it a crime to do something. What's that? Well, hang tight. I'll tell you next. It's the Weekend with Michael Brown. Text the word Michael to 33103. Tell me anything. Ask me anything. I'll be right back.
Attention, business owners. This is Jason Evans. I spent the last 3.5 decades helping companies create serious business breakthroughs, and I want to help you like never before. I've built a serious training program called 3 Ways to Double Sales in 12 Months. We're going to give this to any business owner that calls us at 800-500-8320. Just call with your email address, and we'll email you this phenomenal video training program at our expense, not yours. It's an incredible gift. See if you agree. 3 Ways to Double Sales in 12 months.
I took Jason's training less than a year ago. This year alone, Jason has made my training explode as far as my sales growth by over 250%. I'm expecting on doing close to $5 to $6 million gross this year just off of his training.
Again, call with your email address and we'll give you a program that others have paid dearly to receive. 800-500-8320. 800-500-8320. That's 800-500-8320. 8320, paid for by Power Sales University.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Experience the Shasta Symphony Orchestra's Spring Concert, Saturday, April 25th at 3 p.m. at the Shasta College Theater. Tickets are $15 general admission, $10 for seniors and wheelchair accessible, $5 for students with ID. More information can be found at shastacollege.edu/events.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
Join me, Mark Levin, weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. KCNR, your talk radio.
Donald Trump is doing something that's never been done in American history. Now, what Trump is trying to do all at once, he wants to, what I call, reindustrialize America.
Mark Levin is on the radio.
KCNR, your talk radio.
Get ready for the day with the Sue McClain News Hour on KCNR. Your weekday weather forecast sets you up to seize any moment, rain or shine. Brought to you by the Queen of Dragons, a value-driven local spot offering premium flour, edibles, and concentrates with free delivery to Shasta Lake. Their Flower Friday special lasts all weekend till supplies run out. Hurry over! Check them out on X, Facebook, or thequeenofdragons.com. KCNR keeps you in the loop every day.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Everybody calls and say Lions. Your Lions putting on the Ritz. Cool blast hitting heat. That's the pitch. No more fits. No more sweating buckets. No freezing bits. Oh, Lions putting on the Ritz. Everybody.
Get our early bird AC tune-up special now. Call Alliance at 2212-642.
Planning a wedding? Celebrate the moment with a free dinner for two at Odell Craft Barbecue. With our slow-smoked brisket that melts in your mouth, even Texans say it's some of the best they've ever had. We cater events and weddings of all sizes, from intimate gatherings to receptions of 1,000 guests. We make delicious food and great service, so you can stay present with the people who matter. Odell Craft Barbecue, real wood, real fire, real flavor. Book your free tasting at ReddingBarbecue.com. Again, book your free tasting at ReddingBarbecue.com.
Medicaid fraud in California. She's going after a guy, Nick Shirley, who is exposing fraud in Minnesota, and did such a good job in Minnesota, decided to go to California and do the same. Well, Assembly Bill 2624 would make it a felony, carrying up to a $50,000 fine and prison time if you share the photos or the personal data of so-called, and I want to quote from the bill, immigrant service providers, close quote, online. A fraudster from one of these organizations could walk into court, demand the removal of a video, even if it was filmed in a public space. They could seek an injunction preventing Nick Shirley, that journalist, even if it was filmed in a public space. They could get an injunction preventing the journalist from covering them for up to 4 years. And critically, there's no exemption for journalists. There's no carve-out for documented, verifiable, on-the-ground reporting. Oh, but there is no exception for we caught you on camera bilking the taxpayers. Now, the wife of the Attorney General, Mia Bonta, calls this a privacy protection. She says immigrant and service providers are being doxxed, harassed, and threatened. And those are real concerns. Nobody's defending actual harassment or doxing. I'm certainly not. But here's what Mia Bonta cannot escape. Her bill doesn't protect individuals from threats. It protects organizations. Taxpayer-funded, government-contracted organizations from the public seeing what they do with that money. A Republican assemblyman in California, Carl DiMaio, went right at her in committee. He pointed out that the bill has no journalism exception, then said this, and I want to quote, "You also do not distinguish between whether posting video, like Assemblymember Mercado did in her investigation of 90 fake hospices, and Mr. Shirley had dozens of fake learning centers for the Somali community in Minnesota, posting the video apparently would be punishable under your law." And then he said something that I think deserves to kind of hang in the air for a minute. He asked Mia Bonta, why are sworn law enforcement officers who get routinely doxxed, harassed, and threatened, how come they don't get the same privacy protections that you want to give to immigrant service organizations that are helping illegal aliens? Her answer? She said her bill doesn't have anything to do with law enforcement, and she was focused solely on whether people working in immigrant services would be protected. Hey, let me translate that legislative gobbledygook for you. What she was really saying, I only care about protecting these people, the immigrant services, NGOs, and the illegal aliens. I only care about protecting them from transparency, not those people, these people. So the other assemblyman put it plainly. He said, this is not about protecting people from violence. This is about threatening and intimidating people who are trying to shine a light on bad behavior. If you have nothing to hide, why do you fear the transparency? Which brings me back to this merit. Rob Bonta uses government investigators, grand juries, subpoenas, law enforcement, the California Department of Justice Division of Medi-Cal Fraud and Elder Abuse, the full apparatus of the government, to chase fraud. That's his job. And by his own account, he's been doing it since before anyone at the federal level was paying attention. Now his wife, Mia, wants to criminalize the 24-year-old kid with a camera who was doing it faster, cheaper, and for free, and getting 42 million views in the process. One Bonta is prosecuting fraud. The other Bonta is trying to prosecute the witness. You know, I spent years in government, and I take civil liberty seriously. And I understand that privacy has legitimate legal protections. But there's a moment in every trial, every lawyer knows this, when the other side stops defending the facts and starts attacking the messenger. That's not a legal strategy, that's a tell. It means they can't defend the facts. This assembly bill is the way California Democrats are attacking the messenger. And the messenger in this case is a 24-year-old kid who's got a YouTube channel, who did what $267 million in state and federal oversight apparently couldn't do. And here's the part that should genuinely kind of tick off every taxpayer, regardless of party. California's own state auditor flagged this exact hospice fraud problem 4 years ago. 4 years. And so the California Attorney General's Office has been, by its own account, pursuing these cases since 2021. Meanwhile, while they were looking around, researchers estimate California may have lost up to $180 billion across their social programs to fraud. $180 billion. And now you got a 24-year-old YouTuber who's the one finally making it impossible to look the other way. So what does Sacramento do? What does the California legislature do? Well, the wife of the Attorney General, the husband, who's supposed to be going after the fraud, introduces legislation to make sure that another Nick Shirley can't pick up a camera. And California's not alone. In Minnesota, same playbook. Democrat Governor Tim Walz, who got nearly $10,000 in campaign donations from supporters connected to Somali daycare operators, spent years just dismissing fraud whistleblowers inside his own administration. And when Nick Shirley's video broke, they didn't try to fix the problem. They questioned his methods. They challenged his credentials. They accused him of targeting communities. They didn't question why children weren't in the daycares. they question why Nick Shirley had the nerve to notice. So the pattern is the same. Whether it's St. Paul or Sacramento, defend the program, attack the reporter, protect the illegal immigrants, ignore the fraud. So when that Attorney General Bonta looked in the camera and said, "We're coming for you," well, guess what? His wife's coming for someone too. But she's not coming for the fraudsters. She's coming for the journalists. In the Bonta household out in California, dinner must be a fascinating exercise in trying to keep a straight face. Because they're looking at each other and going, wink, wink. Ah, aren't we great? You go out there and pretend to go after the fraud, and while you go after the fraud, I'll make sure that nobody can expose the fraud. That is indeed a story about a house divided. Except, unfortunately, I really don't think the house is divided. I think the house is simpatico. They're right together on parallel tracks doing the same thing. Lying to people in California. Oh, he'll get a case or two. He'll convict a few people here or there. Meanwhile, she's making sure that those who are really trying to expose the fraud will be afraid to do so because they'll face felonies and fines and jail time for taking their iPhone, walking up to a UPS store or a vacant office front and saying, are there any kids in here? Anybody in here in hospice? Can I see your patient list? Is so-and-so in here? And the answer will be a big, fat, nothing. Nothing to see here. Move along. That's not a house divided. That's a house pursuing exactly the same motivation. I can only come to one conclusion. And the conclusion is the closer we get to exposing the fraud, the more they're going to do to try to prevent us from actually seeing the fraud. Go back to the last thing. When I said what's going to happen in the midterm, well, if the Democrats get control in Congress in the midterm, what's going on in California will look like, small potato. It's the Weekend with Michael Brown. Hang tight. I'll be right back.
It's tax season, and at LifeLock, we know you're tired of numbers. But here's a big one you need to hear. Billions. That's the amount of money and refunds the IRS has flagged for possible identity fraud. Now here's another big number. 100 million. That's how many data points LifeLock monitors every second. If your identity is stolen, we'll fix it guaranteed. One last big number. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS. Visit LifeLock.com for the threats you can't control. Terms apply.
Help, Mother's Day's almost here and I have nothing for Mom.
Relax, sis. Just shop JTV. I already got Mom a gorgeous gold bracelet.
JTV, like jewelry television, isn't it?
Amazing? Yes. They have thousands of gift and jewelry ideas, and their prices are unreal.
Okay, but how unreal are we talking?
Right now, new customers get $20 off your purchase of $99 or more at JTV.com. Use code DEAL20 now.
Why didn't you tell me this sooner?
Because I'm the mean sister.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. A series of reported tornadoes have torn through the Midwestern U.S.
Oklahoma, Kansas, Missouri, Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin. So a lot of those states did have pretty widespread severe weather yesterday. Wind and hail were the most common reports. A lot of large hail, a lot of strong winds. But there were also several tornadoes scattered about within that corridor as well. So definitely an active day of severe weather yesterday across the middle part of the country.
National Weather Service forecaster Mark Shenard there. Those storms ripped roofs off of homes and left many roads impassable. The U.S. and Iran locked in a standoff over the Strait of Hormuz. Iran today fired on a ship trying to pass through, escalating tensions. The U.S. continues to blockade Iranian ports. China says it's willing to take custody of highly enriched uranium from Iran.
China is open to taking possession or downgrading some 970 pounds of enriched uranium that President Trump says must be removed from Iran as part of a deal to end the war. At the moment, it appears President Trump wants the U.S. to take custody of the material that is believed buried under nuclear sites badly damaged in an American bombardment last June. But China, which is Iran's biggest trading partner, is signaling it would be open if asked by Washington and Tehran to take the uranium or downblend to levels that could be used for civilian applications. Bernie Bennett reporting.
The U.S. Treasury Department has extended its pause on sanctions on Russian oil shipments, SOE shortages from the Iran war. U.S. Senator Tom Cotton says he's upset with how NATO leaders have treated the U.S.
And I think those leaders are going to have a lot to answer for when this is over. Unfortunately, I think most of them are doing this not out of some like geopolitical calculation or strategic insight. They're doing it because most of them are very unpopular, and they see McCarney in Canada high up in the polls by opposing Donald Trump on everything, and they want to do that in their domestic politics as well.
That is Arkansas Republican Senator Tom Cotton. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Union Pacific Railroad is part of the very fabric that built America. Founded by President Abraham Lincoln, Union Pacific is celebrating America's 250th anniversary and helping us build the next exciting chapter of our great nation. Union Pacific Railroad is merging with Norfolk Southern to create the first true coast-to-coast freight rail network, cutting costly delays, eliminating handoffs, and lowering shipping costs all across America. With two new locomotives, one called America 250, wrapped in the American flag, and another honoring both our past and modern strengths, featuring President Trump. It's more than a tribute. It means faster deliveries, stronger supply chains, and real savings for American businesses and families. It's a vision rooted in American history and aligned with President Trump's focus on rebuilding American industry, helping to lead the way into a bold new future. Union Pacific, building what's next for America.
A small group of House Republicans is rejecting President Trump's request to renew a controversial surveillance program without some major revisions.
The president wanted a clean 18-month extension of FISA, which U.S. spy agencies use to collect and analyze communications, without a warrant. Several Republicans pushed for greater protections for Americans and voted down the measure. They also rejected a middle-of-the-night compromise from the House Speaker, which some GOP lawmakers said wasn't strong enough. In the end, the House approved a temporary two-week renewal of FISA. Greg Clugston, Washington.
An American delegation has met recently with Cuban government officials in the island nation. It marks a renewed diplomatic push, even as President Trump has threatened to intervene in Cuba. And its leader said this week his country is prepared to fight if that should take place. You'll find breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. President Trump plans to appeal a court decision that once again stalls his White House ballroom project. Here's correspondent Ken Lorman, who reports the president is clearly not happy with that decision.
U.S. District Judge Richard Leon said he's ordering a stop only to the above ground construction of the planned ballroom, apart from any work needed to cover or secure that part of the project. President Trump on social media called Leon a Trump-hating judge who, quote, has gone out of his way to undermine national security to make sure that this great gift to America gets delayed or doesn't get built, end quote.
That is Ken Lorman reporting. An oil industry trade association says a Democrat congressman's claim about gas prices in California is not true. Ro Khanna has blamed President Trump and the ongoing war in Iran for $6 per gallon gas in California. The industry says it's simply not true. It's high taxes. More of these stories at Town Hall.
I'm Steve Coburn, proud owner of Country Air Pet Resort here in Reading. I invite you to come and take a tour of my revitalized pet resort. Our goal here at Country Air is to make sure your pet can relax and have a healthy, happy time away from home. With friendly, caring people, lots of fresh air and exercise, good healthy food, and plenty of pampering. There are no small cages here. What we offer are large temperature-controlled runs and spacious exercise yards that are great for fun and socialization. We even offer daycare. Cats are treated to a two-room apartment plus playtime in our playroom. So stop by and take a tour of the best. You and your pet will want to come back to Country Air Pet Resort, where our motto is, we treat your pets as if they were our own. Country Air Pet Resort, 549-3335.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. Have you been affected by some of the recent changes in business ownership here in Shasta and Tehama counties? These changes follow a national trend where national companies buy up locally owned small family companies and change the culture and staff and pricing of their product. That has occurred here in the North State also. Three locally owned propane companies have been purchased by large national companies. If you're like me and you prefer to deal with locally owned companies, you may be interested to know Shasta Gas Propane, which has been around for 28 years, now has the third generation working in the company. For locally owned, family operated service and care, give us a call at 530-365-3793. Thank you.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and I Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio. Find out what's happening in our town, our community, and our nation. That's Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m. right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
Join Aaron and Bill for We the People Radio, Sundays, noon until 2.
It's conservative talk radio with a liberal dose of humor. Get the whole story from experts around the world delivering facts rather than opinion.
Missed a show? Busy at noon? No problem. Listen to our free archives when you have time. No commercial interruptions or download restrictions. We the People Radio.
.us. What shall we do
about them? 9.9 million Americans misuse prescription drugs, with most of the pills coming from family and friends' medicine cabinets. The National Prescription Drug Take-Back Day addresses this public health and safety issue. Help us keep prescription drugs out of the hands of our young people. Clean out your medicine cabinets and bring your unused, outdated, and unwanted prescription drugs to the Reading City Hall on Cypress, Saturday, April 25th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. For more information, contact Chemical People at 241-5958 or chemicalpeople.org.
For a total of 222 electoral votes. Now, the compact does not go into effect until there are enough states signed up to reach the required 270 electoral votes in order to win the presidency. So they need 48 more electoral votes from whatever combination of states they can put together. So in a football analogy, they're standing on the 5-yard line of the most consequential restructuring of American presidential elections since the adoption of the Constitution in 1789. There's a strategist for the National Popular Vote Project, Alyssa Cass, who called the effort one that, quote, started 20 years ago with, quote, constant forward momentum across these 20 years. And she herself said, and now we're on the 5-yard line of making this a reality. And she said it like she's proud. She ought to be terrified of what she's doing to the country. But she's not. Because they're doing it quietly. They're doing it incrementally. They're doing it one state legislature at a time. Funded by the very people who have a very specific partisan interest in the outcome. So that's just the overview. But let's get into the mechanics. Because you do need to understand how the National Popular Vote Compact actually works. So this is the core mechanism, and I really do want you to understand it precisely, because the devil is, unfortunately, in these details. So save this podcast, because when you have, because this is going to start hitting the news more and more and more, and I want you to understand it, at least from my perspective. Joining the compact means that states would award their electoral votes to the candidate who wins the most votes nationwide, instead of the winner in their state. And the approach that would, if adopted by enough states, this would ensure the Electoral College outcome matches the national popular vote. So I guess, let me explain it practically. It means this. If Virginia, where it's currently going on, if Virginia votes 55% for candidate A, the Republican, let's say, but candidate B wins the national popular vote, then every single one of Virginia's 13 electoral votes will go to candidate B. The candidate Virginians rejected. A Virginia voter who helps deliver a majority for one candidate inside the Commonwealth of Virginia would watch all 13 of Virginia's electoral votes go to the other candidate, because voters in California, voters in New York, voters in Texas outnumbered them nationally. This compact would effectively nullify votes cast in Virginia itself and only give its electoral college votes to the nationwide popular vote winner. The Virginia Republican Party put it plainly and correctly. This is what, under the bill. The Republican Party in Virginia said, and I quote, "All of Virginia's electoral college votes will go to the winner of the national popular vote, no matter who wins the popular vote in our Commonwealth," close quote. Gang, that's not reform. That is disenfranchisement of anybody's living in a state that's adopted this wearing reforms clothing. It's disenfranchisement wearing reforms clothing. The beauty of the scheme, from the left's perspective anyway, is that it technically keeps the Electoral College in place. Those electors will still exist. The states will still appoint them. The 12th Amendment doesn't get touched. But the result is the same as abolishing the Electoral College outright. But they don't have to do the constitutionally required heavy lifting of actually amending the Constitution. This compact could effectively shift the way presidential elections are determined without a change to either the U.S. Constitution or to federal election law. One Iowa Deputy Solicitor General, Patrick Valencia, has written that this compact is ultimately an effort to, quote, usurp the constitutionally required electoral procedures, close quote, by technically keeping the Electoral College in place, but changing the rules of how those votes are allocated. I think he's exactly right. This is constitutional arbitrage. This is the left doing in the legislative back room what it cannot do at the constitutional front door. So that's the second part of it. That is how it works and why the stealth matters. But let's get to the third part. I want to make the argument for the constitutional case against this compact, the National Popular Vote Compact. Let me put it in the way my law professor said, and for what it's worth, I've taught constitutional law, so I have some standing to say this. The compact clause, Article 1, Section 10. What's that? Well, hang tight, and I'll tell you in just a minute. You're listening to The Weekend with Michael Brown. Text lines open, 33103, keyword Michael. The constitutional case against the National Popular Vote Contract next.
name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband Ryan died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
LifeLock, how can I help?
The IRS said I filed my return,
but I haven't.
One in four tax-paying Americans has paid the price of identity fraud.
What do I do?
My refund, though.
I'm freaking out.
Don't worry, I can fix this.
LifeLock fixes identity theft guaranteed and gets your money back with up to $3 million in coverage.
I'm so relieved.
No problem. I'll be with you every step of the way.
One in four was a fraud-paying American. Not anymore. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is a weekly conversation about all things mental health. Join licensed psychologist Dr. Joy Harden Bradford for discussions about personal development and all the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves.
Black woman sisterhood is strong and alive, and you can rely on that for your entire journey, wherever your pathway will take you.
Listen to Therapy for Black Girls wherever you get your podcasts.
In the 1990s, there was nowhere Bruce Willis could go to avoid the celebrity spotlight until he discovered a tiny mountain town. On the podcast Haleywood, join Dana Schwartz on a trip back to the 90s when Hollywood glamour collided with the small-town values of Haley, Idaho.
I've never been one starstruck. I wouldn't walk across the street to meet a movie star, but I liked his TV series, Moonlighting. I love Die Hard and some of his other movies. Bruce Willis is here. That's kind of fun.
The small community welcomed the celebrity, but soon realized that Bruce Willis didn't just want to live in Haley. He wanted to transform it.
We kept hearing that a corporation named Ixnay was making offers to buy some properties right on Main Street, and we couldn't find out who was the force behind Ixnay.
And that's when Haley became something else entirely. Listen to Haleywood. That's Haileywood, wherever you get your podcasts.
On the R-Spot podcast, New York Times bestselling author and famed spiritual life coach Iyanla Van Zandt digs deep into relationship issues. During intimate, raw sessions, Iyanla inspires callers to do the work as she guides them toward healing with her signature no-nonsense approach.
I wanted love so bad, or I just wanted someone so bad that I thought I could fix it.
I would say, beloved, you are looking for love in all the wrong places.
Listen to The R-Spot wherever you get your podcasts.
Before Saturday Night Live alum Vanessa Bayer and her musician brother Jonah took the comedy and music worlds by storm, they were just little weirdo kids.
We had like a popcorn making machine, and there was like this kind of orangish plastic top to it, and Jonah used to wear it on his head and say that he was He-Man.
On the podcast, How Did We Get Weird?, Vanessa and Jonah are joined by exciting guests for nostalgia-filled discussions about how their childhoods helped shape who they are today.
I just want to stop short and say that when I first became a vegetarian, you were not a vegetarian and used to like blatantly eat meat in front of me at the dinner table. Okay, go ahead.
Unless you're a monster, you'll love this hilarious and surprisingly sweet trip through childhood in the 80s and 90s.
The point is, She-Ra, I would dress up as her, and what I would do is I would wear these like pieces of yarn around my head, so it was like I had long hair, which is actually something I did almost every day, and that was my She-Ra costume.
Listen to How Did We Get Weird with Vanessa and Jonah Bayer, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome back to Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. I appreciate you tuning in. If you like what we do on the weekend, you might like what we do during the weekday too. So I would encourage you to take out your iHeart app, your free-to-you iHeart radio app, and search for a station in Denver that goes by the call letters KOA. KOA, like the campground. It's located at 850 AM, 94.1 FM, and if you hit that as a preset, then Monday through Friday, from 9 to noon Mountain Time, you can listen to my weekday program also. So I'd really appreciate you streaming the weekday program Monday through Friday. So we are talking right now about the National Popular Vote Compact. And we just went through why it matters right now because of Virginia, how it works, and while the stealth adoption of this really does matter. And I want to make a constitutional case against it. And I want to start with Article 1, Section 10 of the Constitution that says, no state shall, without the consent of Congress, enter into any agreement or compact with another state. Got that? You can't enter into these compacts. Now, the Supreme Court back in 1893, in the case Virginia versus Tennessee, narrowed that clause. Not every compact needs congressional approval. Only a compact that is political in character or that would increase state power in a way that would decrease federal power. The Supreme Court has established that political compacts are permitted, but only with the consent of Congress. So here we have a compact. A compact that impacts the outcome of a governmental election, I think, is undeniably political in character. It's not a water rights agreement like between here and Kansas. This isn't a bridge maintenance compact between, say, New York and New Jersey. This is an agreement among states to determine who becomes the President of the United States. That's about as political as you can get. The National Popular Vote Compact clearly falls in the political category that the court said you can't do since 1893. Now, the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact gives signatory states, those that have signed on to it, more power than those who refuse to sign, and effectively silences the rest of the country. That is textbook unconstitutional under the compact clause of the Constitution. Non-member states would have their voices in presidential elections determined by the voting outcomes of states that have no representation in or no say over those other states. And then I want to throw in another wrinkle. The former chairman or member of the Federal Election Commission has noted that, unlike a lot of other interstate compacts that the court has permitted, this compact prevents compacting states from withdrawing during the last 6 months of a presidential term. Meaning, once a presidential election is underway, you're locked in, baby. You can't change your mind. When you see the numbers going against your candidate, you can't change. It's too late. That limitation on free withdrawal has actually been cited by a bunch of legal scholars as an additional basis for unconstitutionality. But then you have the Article 2 problem. Legal scholars at Brigham Young University Law Review have made the broader argument this way. The framers of the Constitution expressly rejected the idea of the direct popular election for the presidency. And not one state, either in the wake of ratification of the Constitution originally, or at any time thereafter, has ever sought to appoint its presidential electors on the basis of votes that are cast outside that state. The unanimous historical practice matters. Courts look at original understanding, they look at the historical practice, and that's how they interpret the scope of constitutional power. Well, the history here speaks with one singular voice. States appoint their electors based on that state's voters, their own voters. They don't appoint electors based on the voters of the other 49 states. If opponents want to abolish the Electoral College, the only constitutionally proper way to do that is a federal constitutional amendment, not an interstate compact that gets negotiated by a handful of states. But then there's the guarantee clause problem. Here's the third strike. This is the third constitutional strike that nobody ever seems to want to talk about. The guarantee clause, Article 4, says that the United States, meaning the federal government, the United States, shall guarantee to every state what? Remember this one? The guarantee clause says that we shall guarantee to every state a Republican form of government. You go to Northwestern University Law Review. They published a student comment arguing this compact violates that particular clause because it creates the potential for the compacting states to form a super state and render the non-compacting states irrelevant in the election of the president. Think about what that means. Wyoming, Montana, Alaska, Idaho. States that I don't think will ever join this compact. They will have their presidential election outcome determined entirely by California, New York, Illinois, and Texas. So their, Wyoming, Montana, Alaska, Idaho, their Republican form of self-government in the selection of the presidency would become a legal fiction. Even the Congressional Research Service concluded back in 2019 that this compact would likely become the source of a ton of litigation, and that the Supreme Court will be involved in any resolution of all these constitutional issues. Now, that's the soft-spoken, bureaucratic way of saying, hey, if this thing ever triggers, it's going to create a constitutional crisis unlike anything we've ever seen in modern presidential election history. And I think that's exactly right. So that's the constitutional argument against it. We're guaranteed a Republican form of government. I live in Colorado. My 9 votes should count the way I want them to count. You live in California. Your 30, 40, 80, whatever they are in California, yours should count. They all should count equally. You shouldn't be able to bundle them up and say, oh, we're going to outvote all of the other states. This is why we have electoral votes based on your congressional district. We got 2 U.S. senators for every state, and then we have apportionment of congressional districts. But let's think about the small states, because I think this would be catastrophic for small states. If you don't listen in New York, I mean, if you listen in California, New York, or Texas, you probably don't care about this. But it really should resonate with people that live in the large states. The founders designed the Electoral College with deliberate intent. It wasn't some accident. It wasn't even a compromise. Alexander Hamilton in Federalist Number 68 explained that our current system was designed to ensure that the presidency could not be captured through sheer mass mobilization in the most populous centers so that the big cities, the urban areas, could not control everything. And Hamilton actually cautioned that the Electoral College was not a mere suggestion, but an excellent system designed to protect this republic from the tumult and the disorder that a direct popular vote invites. Stop and let me just insert one thing here. It's not even in my notes, but just having to think about it. In your state, wherever you are, let's just say it's a city council race, state rep race, governor's race. It's close. There's a recount. Can you imagine a national recount? What a farce that would be. It's the Weekend with Michael Brown. When we get back, let me finish explaining why this is absolutely catastrophic for smaller states. I'll be right back.
If you don't care about saving 50% off your wireless bill for the same 5G coverage the big guys are charging a fortune for, maybe you care about keeping jobs in America. PureTalk does. They've pledged to run their entire operation from this country, including all their customer service. Or maybe you care about our nation's veterans. PureTalk does. They've donated hundreds of thousands of dollars to America's Warrior Partnership, a fantastic organization working hard to prevent veteran suicide. Or maybe you care about closing America's skills gap. PureTalk does. They're a proud supporter of MicroWorks. They're helping my foundation train the next generation of skilled workers. Don't get me wrong. Saving money's great, and you'll save plenty with PureTalk. But if you want to be in business with people who share your values, dial #250, say micro, and switch to an American wireless company that actually stands for something. Pure Talk.
Take a look. Get down the line. Get down the line. Do the dance. Linda Fott. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, or North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Hi, this is Cindy at Lauk's Landscape Supply. Spring has sprung, and it's time for our annual spring sale, April 10th through the 19th at Lauk's Landscape Supply. Save big on the North State Turf Blend Lawn Seed and get a 25-pound bag for only $49.99. Our popular Garden Power Soil will be down to $51.99 a yard. Need to restock the tools in the shed? 15 to 20% off all the popular shovels, rakes, garden hoses, and so much more in the store. Pick up a 2.5-gallon jug of Ranger Pro Concentrate to kill those weeds for only $59.99 each. The 5-cubic foot contractor's blue steel wheelbarrow for only $199.99. Landscape fabric in all sizes marked at the lowest price of the year. Triple 15 is only $27.99 for a 50-pound bag. This and so much more at Lauk's Landscape Supply at the intersection of Dersh, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. Give us a call at 530-378-2220. Check us out on the web at laukslandscapesupply.com or just come see us at 6023 Churn Creek Road, April 10th through the 19th. Lauk's Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Imagine walking into your home and instantly feeling relaxed because the colors are fresh, clean, and exactly your style. That's what Eagle Eye Painting does for homeowners every day. Careful prep, protecting your furniture and floors, and a smooth, beautiful finish you'll be proud to show off. We're local, licensed, bonded, insured, and we're happy to help you in English or Spanish. Ready to fall in love with your home again? Call Eagle Eye Painting today at 530-410-1317 for a free, friendly estimate. That's 530-410-1317 or visit 530painter.com.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. You've been in an accident with your vehicle. You call your insurance. The first thing they do is tell you where to go to get an estimate and repairs. Well, tell them where to go and come see us at Coachmaster. They're sending you to their discount repair shop to get the cheapest repair possible. This is not in your best interest. You have the right to choose Coachmaster to do your repairs. All we need is your claim number and we can handle the entire process. At Coachmaster, we don't repair your vehicle for the insurance company. We repair it for you. We use quality parts and products to ensure the highest quality repairs. Your vehicle will be returned to a pre-loss condition. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Since 1934, Grange Co-op has stood for more than just a store. It's all about neighbors helping neighbors, families growing together, and communities thriving. And now, that tradition is here in Reading. From feed and garden supplies to tools and pet essentials, Grange Co-op has what you need. With service you can trust, visit us today at 55 Lake Boulevard. Grange Co-op, trusted by neighbors since 1934.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Explaining why this is going to be a disaster for the smaller states. The founders were students of history. They knew what happened to the Greek city-state. They knew what Athenian democracy produced. So they designed a federal republic, not a pure democracy. That drives me crazy when people talk about how we're a democracy. Precisely because the founders understood that 51% of the population in a concentrated geographic area shouldn't be able to permanently override the interests of the other 49% that are spread across a vast and diverse continent. So here's what a national popular vote actually does to campaign geography. And the data is devastating. Let's go to the 2024 election. 94% of general election campaign events took place in only 7 states. That is, 43 states and 80% of U.S. voters were mere spectators to the presidential election. That's under the current system. Colorado, for example, where I sit right now. Colorado, well, we didn't. I don't remember Trump or Kamala Harris coming through. Maybe they did. If they did, it was just for one night to raise some money from some wealthy billionaires out in Aspen or something. But they campaign in the big urban areas, in the big states. Again, listen to those numbers. 94% of all presidential campaign events took place in only 7 states, which means that 43 states and 80% of U.S. voters just watched the campaign events from afar. And that's under the current system. Think about a national popular vote. Under a national popular vote, every vote counts equally. Which sounds wonderful, right? Until you realize what it means strategically. Presidential campaigns are not charity. They are resource allocation machines, and they're designed to maximize electoral return. If every vote counts the same, regardless of geography, then the rational strategy is to ignore Wyoming. They have 584,000 people. And then flood the zone in L.A. because they've got 10 million people. Why spend one single dollar in Montana when that dollar produces the same electoral results as a dollar spent in Houston, except that, well, Houston's got 20 times the population of Montana? Opponents, like me, of the national popular vote, say that the compact would encourage candidates to campaign in only the most populous regions of the country at the expense of rural states and towns. And it's not hypothetical, it's math. Presidential campaigns would become essentially metropolitan contests. The interests of rural America, where you may be listening right now, and what's important about rural America? Agriculture, energy, water rights, land use, manufacturing. Well, all of those issues would be permanently subordinated to the preferences of urban America. So a candidate that would lock up New York, L.A., Chicago, Houston, Phoenix, Philadelphia, Dallas, they could win the national popular vote while being entirely indifferent to the concerns of the residents of 43 states that collectively have less population than New York, L.A., Chicago, Houston, Phoenix, Philly, and Dallas combined. The states currently targeted for recruitment into the compact: Arizona, Michigan, New Hampshire, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. Those are not small states. What are they? You got it. They're swing states. So the compact strategists understand perfectly well that small red states will never voluntarily surrender their influence. So the strategy: grab the purple states. Grab the swing states. The states that currently have leverage in the presidential election. And then neutralize that leverage by folding them into the national popular vote apparatus. Nitty gritty here. Wyoming's 3 electoral votes currently represent roughly 1 electoral vote per 194,000 people. California's 54 electoral votes represent 1 vote per 718,000 people. Under the Electoral College, a Wyoming voter's presidential vote carries more weight because the founders wanted small states to have standing in the federal republic. This compact eliminates that. It doesn't make every vote equal. It makes every vote in California, New York, and Texas the ones that matter, and renders every vote in Wyoming, Vermont, and Alaska mathematically irrelevant. That is right there. That is the catastrophic effect on small states. But there's another aspect to this. Why are we even discussing this? Where's this idea coming from? Why do we keep getting pushed on this? Here's where the mask comes off that this is somehow good government reform. Because I'll tell you, that's bovine feces. The national popular vote was founded back in 2006 by lottery scratch card inventor John Koza and an election lawyer by the name of Barry Fadum to lobby for an interstate compact for states to deliver their electoral votes to the winner of the national popular vote. Now, those are both Democrat donors. The organization has since hired Republican spokespeople. So the bipartisan window dressing is deliberate. It's just theater. I want you to know who's actually funding this. John Koza was inspired to start this effort by the re-election of my old boss, George W. Bush, in 2004. Now, Koza regularly maxes out in donations to Democrat candidates, has contributed the maximum amount to Nancy Pelosi, Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, and others. Politico itself reports that Koza spent $14 million promoting this compact by 2014 and planned to budget $2 million every year for the past 16 years. Now, is this a Soros-backed operation in the strict sense? Let me give you an accurate answer. It's more precisely described, I think, as a Soros network adjacent project. Let me explain why. Jonathan Soros, the son of George Soros, heads an investment firm, and the George Soros-backed Open Society Foundation has given millions of dollars to the Tides Foundation. Well, the Tides Foundation, a major funder of left-leaning causes such as Media Matters, Planned Parenthood, the Sierra Club, contributed $25,000 to the National Popular Vote group. Then the Steven Silberstein Foundation made donations totaling $1 million to the National Popular Vote, Inc. between 2008 and 2012. Who's Silberstein? In 2015, Inside Philanthropy reported that, quote, nearly every major progressive policy and advocacy group in the United States has received money from Silberstein in recent years. For example, the Sandler Foundation, which gives to left-leaning organizations such as the Center for American Progress or the ACLU and Earth Justice, contributed $100,000 to the national popular vote in 2010. So, it's all funneled down. So they keep hands off, but the original comes from the Soros network. I'll give even more precise information next. It's The Weekend with Michael Brown. Hang tight. I'll be right back.
Mom deserves more than flowers and a card. Enter to win the JTV Mother's Day Getaway at jtv.com/sweepstakes. You could win a 6-night cruise to Grand Cayman, Mexico, and the Bahamas, plus $1,000 spending money and a $1,000 gift card to shop JTV. It's a mom's dream come true. Enter the JTV Mother's Day Getaway now at jtv.com/sweepstakes, and new customers receive a one-time $25 off of a purchase of $50 or more.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Do you have a history of those dreadful calcium oxalate stones? Well, KidneyCop is here to help. Shown in laboratory testing to reduce the rate of calcium oxalate crystal growth by 99%. Yes, 99%. Don't wait. Start taking KidneyCop Calcium Oxalate Protector today. That's KidneyCop, C-O-P, KidneyCop. Order today at Amazon.com, Walmart.com, or KidneyCop.com. That's Amazon, Walmart, or KidneyCop.com.
Business is booming at Redding Heating and Air, and we have a simple philosophy. Our neighbors deserve elite talent. We are looking for the absolute best service technicians and installers in the North State.
That's right. We aren't just looking to fill a seat. We're looking for pros who take pride in their craft and care about the community we serve.
If you're at the top of your game, you belong in a company that respects your expertise. Because here, we take the trust of our neighbors personally.
We're hiring service technicians and installers right now. We offer the best compensation in town because we believe the best of the best deserve to be treated that way.
If you're a seasoned pro ready to lead in a company where excellence is the standard, we want you on our team.
No joke. We've got the work. If you've got the skills, come join the family.
Service technicians and installers, apply today to Redding Heating and Air. Visit RedingHeatingAir.com to submit your application. Redding Heating and Air, old-fashioned service, modern-day solutions.
Hear ye, good folk. You are cordially invited to the Shasta Renaissance and Fantasy Fair Memorial Day weekend, Saturday, May 23rd from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Sunday, May 24th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Anderson Fairgrounds at 1890 Briggs Street. Watch knights fight for their honor in armored combat. Enjoy lively Celtic and folk music. Feast like royalty and shop handcrafted treasures from artisans far and wide. Tickets are just $17 for adults, $15 for youth, 11 to 17, and kids 10 and under get in free. Get yours now at Eventbrite and skip the lines. The Shasta Renaissance and Fantasy Fair Memorial Day weekend, Saturday, May 23rd from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Sunday, May 24th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Anderson Fairgrounds. Huzzah!
John Cruz here with America Outdoors Radio. Be sure to tune in this weekend and catch the latest in fishing, hunting, conservation, and destinations. If you love spending time in the field or on the water or in the woods, you're going to love this show. It's America Outdoors Radio, the fastest growing outdoors radio show in the nation. Tune in Saturdays from noon to 1 p.m. on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM KCNR, your talk radio.
The Renning Rancheria proudly invites you to the State of the Tribe Luncheon, Wednesday, May 20th at Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center, with doors opening at 11:30 and lunch at noon. Join us as we celebrate where we have been and explore where we are going as a tribe and community partner. Proceeds from this event benefit the Renning Rancheria Community Fund. The Renning Rancheria State of the Tribe Luncheon, Wednesday, May 20th at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and watch the State of the Tribe streaming live.
Michael Brown, glad to have you with me. We're talking about the National Popular Vote Compact, and I think this is absolutely destructive to our Republican small r form of government. So let's go back, because I said this is at top of mind for me because of the Commonwealth of Virginia. So let me just talk about Virginia and their current governor, Abigail Spanberger, and give you the cynical politics of a so-called moderate. Abigail Spanberger. Because her role here really deserves some attention. She ran for governor of Virginia as a moderate Democrat. She's a former CIA operations officer. She has national security credibility, the kind of candidate that, you know, is designed to make suburban Republicans comfortable, particularly in Northern Virginia. She won. And then she proceeded to govern as a reliable progressive. Critics have accused her of abandoning her centrist moderate message to advance all these far-left policies. So, a former CIA officer, she built her political brand as a moderate, has moved sharply to the left since taking over the governor's mansion. Well, she was actually, remember, she delivered the Democrat response to Trump's State of the Union. That's a role that's typically reserved for the Democrats or the opposing party's rising stars, or its most reliable messengers. House Bill 965. Passed both houses of the Virginia General Assembly, mostly along party lines. Not because it was good government reform, but because the Democrats had the votes and the governor had the pen to sign it. What does Virginia joining mean strategically? It means 13 more electoral votes in the compact's column. That brought the total to 222. So now there's momentum, both actual and psychological. So the organizers are now claiming progress in states like Arizona, Michigan, New Hampshire, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. Those are the remaining swing states. If only two or three of those fall into the compact, the trigger could be reached. So, what happens? Suppose the compact does get to 270 electoral votes before 2028. And suppose in 2028, the Republican candidate wins 28 states, including six compact states. Let's say the Republican wins the national popular vote by 500,000 votes out of 160 million cast. But because of how the compact is structured, the Democrat would win the compact state's electoral votes and become president. Even though the Republican candidate won 28 states, won the national popular vote by 500,000 votes out of 160 million cast, the Democrat would still win. Oh, would it work that way? Would Democrat governors in the compact states actually certify electoral votes for Republican? The question of whether swing state Democrat governors would certify a Republican presidential candidate as the winner of their state's electoral votes if most votes in their states voted for Democrat candidate, I think that's a genuinely open question. But flip it. Just flip it. The Democrat wins the national popular vote, but the Republican wins most compact states. Those compact states' Republican legislatures might change the certification. State leverage and withdrawal could become a partisan weapon, depending on how the compact's terms and state laws handle the exit timing. Some legal experts have agreed that the compact is sure to invite legal challenges. Some have suggested likelihood that multiple viable candidates would run because they would only need a plurality of the popular vote to win 270 electoral votes. So a bigger field, a larger field of presidential candidates, elected, say, with 35 or 38% of the national popular vote, well, if every vote counts equally, as long as you're one of the 35% who voted for the winner. And then the compact also has a profound election integrity problem that nobody talks about. The compact raises the stakes by tying Virginia's outcome to the honesty and accuracy of vote counts in every other state. Right now, Virginia's presidential outcome depends on Virginia's vote count. But under the compact, Virginia's presidential outcome depends on the accuracy of vote tabulation in all 50 states plus D.C. If Cook County, Illinois, shocker, has counting irregularities, Virginia's electoral votes are affected. If a single county in a non-compact state engages in fraud that inflates the national popular vote total, it changes the outcome for every compact state. Now, the current system contains and localizes election disputes. A recount fight in Florida back in 2000, Bush v. Gore, that affected only Florida's 25 electoral votes, not everybody else's. Under a national popular vote, every election dispute in every state becomes a national constitutional crisis. Every recount becomes a national recount. Every irregularity challenge is litigated across all 50 states simultaneously. So this is not a debate. Not at all. This is not a debate about whether the Electoral College is perfect, because I don't think that it is. No system is. This is a debate about whether a handful of partisan Democrat governors funded by the left-wing donor ecosystem can effectively amend the Constitution through the back door of an interstate compact without the consent of Congress, without the consent of three-quarters of the states, without the debate and deliberation that the amendment process requires. Our founders established the Electoral College so that all states could participate in electing the president, requiring campaigns to reach the entire country. The National Popular Vote Movement rejects our current system. And it also wants to skip amending the Constitution and yet allow only a handful of states to elect the president. Even with congressional consent, it's still bad policy. Without that consent, I think it's also unconstitutional. The founders understood something that the left refuses to accept. We're not a pure democracy. We don't want to live in a pure democracy. Do you want everything decided by 51% of 350 million Americans, or whatever the adult voting population is. Let's just say it's 200 million people. Do you want everything decided by 200 million people? And every time we have a national issue that we vote on that, it'd be chaos all the time. Everybody would always be contesting. We'd never know who really won or who lost. The Electoral College, on the other hand, is the mechanism by which the federal character of the presidential election is preserved. I believe that if you destroy that, you don't get equal votes. You get instead Los Angeles, New York, Chicago, permanently electing the president, and the rest of America, you talk about flyover country, the rest of America just sits back and watches. Now, Abigail Spanberger calls this a, quote, very straightforward long-term plan. Well, she's right about one thing. It is long-term. It's been 20 years in the making. And it's been the typical. Everybody always asks me, Michael, when you talk about progressive politics, when you talk about progressivism, give us an example of this. This is a modern example of progressivism. This has been 20 years in the making. So it's been very quiet, very methodical. It gets funded by the usual suspects. And now it's 48 electoral votes from slowly over time, state by state. Take Colorado, join it. Just over time, slowly, forever, changing the Constitution without a single constitutional amendment, without a national referendum, and without most Americans even knowing it's happening. And that's why I'm telling you about it today. Virginia, back up. The national popular vote will destroy this republic. It's the Weekend with Michael Brown. Hang tight. I'll be right back.
It's tax season, and at LifeLock, we know you're tired of numbers. But here's a big one you need to hear. Billions. That's the amount of money and refunds the IRS has flagged for possible identity fraud. Now here's another big number. 100 million. That's how many data points LifeLock monitors every second. If your identity is stolen, we'll fix it guaranteed. One last big number. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS. Visit LifeLock.com for the threats you can't control. Terms apply.
Help, Mother's Day's almost here and I have nothing for Mom.
Relax, sis. Just shop JTV. I already got Mom a gorgeous gold bracelet.
JTV, like jewelry television, isn't it?
Amazing? Yes. They have thousands of gift and jewelry ideas and their prices are unreal.
Okay, but how unreal are we talking?
Right now, new customers get $20 off your purchase of $99 or more at JTV.com. Use code DEAL20 now.
Why didn't you tell me this sooner?
Because I'm the mean sister.
Our favorite Reading tradition is here. Cool April nights. Here's a list of events that are happening today. Lithia Chevrolet Show and Shine, 10 a.m. to 1:30. Anderson River Park Show and Shine starts at 1:30. Box Drop Mattress Show and Shine starts at 2. Gaia Hotel Spa Show and Shine, 4 to 7. Country Bowl Show and Shine with Jake Easy, 6 to 8. And a Grease Sing-Along at the Cascade Theater starts at 7. Get your tickets to the biggest show and shine of them all Saturday, April 25th at any Napa Auto Parts store. Also, go to CoolAprilNights.com for a downloadable schedule of events.
Since 1934, Grange Co-op has stood for more than just a store. It's all about neighbors helping neighbors, families growing together, and communities thriving. And now, that tradition is here in Reading. From feed and garden supplies to tools and pet essentials, Grange Co-op has what you need. With service you can trust. Visit us today at 55 Lake Boulevard. Grange Co-op, trusted by neighbors since 1934.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.